I think that sort of sums up our Cornell experiences. Each year we look back at, you know, what we'd accomplished and the struggles we had, and, you know, we're kind of dumbfounded as to how the hell we made it through. And, you know, that's why it's been so nice having Taylor here, because, you know, she's one other person that understands the million moving pieces of balancing triathlon, Cornell, and track and field.
I loved representing Cornell, because now that's a past tense. I think not realizing when my last race was is probably going to be the toughest part. But the thing that I miss most is the day-to-day, going to practice, seeing my teammates, being with them. That's, I think, the hardest part about our season being canceled.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Triple Knot Pod, a place for female collegiate runners to share their stories. I'm your host, Haley, and I want to start episode 8 by acknowledging the grief and stress, instability, or maybe just pure confusion that everyone might be experiencing in light of the coronavirus pandemic. But through it all, I've seen and heard stories of some really simple but profound acts of solidarity and community support. And I hope that we can all keep following those guidelines, staying physically distant, but staying socially connected in whatever way is possible while still taking care of ourselves. For today's episode, I'm in the virtual presence of two triathlon icons. We have Taylor Nibb and Kylie Spearing, who are both teammates and students at Cornell University, currently finishing their senior year of college with online classes. So fun. During their 4 years of competing as some of the top members of the Cornell cross country and track teams, they led their team to an appearance at the 2019 NCAA D1 National Championship while also traveling the world, making some waves in the triathlons. While at Cornell, Taylor became a three-time world champion and the youngest person in history to podium at a World Triathlon Series event. Kylie competed at the World Championships twice, posting a top 10 finish. And like me, you might be asking yourself, how do they do it? So without further ado, let's get this episode rolling. So pre-Cornell, what are your earliest memories of each other? Maybe Kylie can go first.
Yeah, sure. I'll start it off. So I remember meeting Taylor, I think it was Flatlands and Youth Elite, maybe first year Junior Elite. And I actually have a distinct memory of meeting Taylor. So I don't know if you guys remember, but there was this thing called a swim premium at Flatlands. And so in addition to throwing junior youth elites, maybe like $100, there's also this like free ice cream tag for the rest of the week. And I remember, you know, being 15 and just wanting that ice cream tag. And I think this is the first time, this maybe Taylor's first draft legal race. And I remember starting the swim and coming out of the water with this girl. I had no idea who she was, but I remember being livid that I missed the swim premium that day. And since then, Taylor and I have kind of been in each other's lives, racing through the junior series and now at college. And it's funny, everyone is always telling us how opposite we are, but I think it really, you know, makes up our relationship. And I don't know, I've found to become such great friends with Taylor, and I'm thankful that, you know, we are constantly in each other's lives. And hopefully we are after school as well.
That's great. Taylor, did you get to enjoy lots of free ice cream that week?
Well, no, because I left Iowa that night. Okay. So it was invalid.
Dang. Oh my gosh. All the reason to make Kylie more jealous then, right? So Taylor, what's your earliest memory of meeting or just being in the presence of Kylie?
So actually, I remember, Kylie probably won't remember this, Richmond, which was a few months before Flatlands that year. I had actually, that was my first youth elite race. I had no idea what I was doing. I remember talking to my mom like the day before, like, should I wear a wetsuit? Should I not wear a wetsuit? It's only like a 375 meter swim. And I thought that was really short, like why even bother? But everyone else was wearing it. And so I was going to wear the wetsuit, but I was very ill prepared for transitions. My transitions probably haven't gotten much better since then, but I remember getting out of the water and being in transition for such a long time that Kylie not only got into transition, but had left transition before me. So I was watching Kylie the entire bike ride. So that's she didn't see me. I only saw her. And that's my memory of Kylie.
That's great. Do you remember what year this was or how old you guys were?
Possibly 2014, 2015, if I can
remember. It was 2013.
Oh, that early.
Because that was Youth Elite. We were 15.
Wow. So yeah. Presumably you both had many options for where and what you could pursue in college. So how did you both land on running track and cross country at Cornell? Taylor, do you want to start this one off?
Well, Kylie made the decision first, and I wanted to follow her wherever she was going. So I had to go to Cornell. No, actually, I think it's kind of a coincidence that we both ended up there. Kylie did make the decision first. I was very indecisive with my college decision, and I think I decided in end of April my senior year, so April 2016, but it was just one of the best options I had, and I felt like the coach and the team were awesome, and as a bonus, there's another triathlete going there too. I think that speaks more to the coach we had, who was very, very willing to adapt and learn new things about dealing with a triathlete during college.
What was that experience for you, Kylie?
Yeah. So coming from a large swim background, I didn't have, you know, the repertoire of running results that, you know, most seniors looking at running in college have. And like Taylor said, our coach at the time was really open to triathlon and allowing us to, you know, pursue our other interests. And that was something that was really important to me. You know, obviously initially looking at college, it's about which academic program fits your needs. So looking at colleges, I had like laid out, you know, three or four colleges that I wanted to attend outside of athletics. You know, I'd be happy at going to regardless of what sport I pursued. And Cornell obviously fit all of those check marks. But yeah, it was really, you know, the team and the atmosphere and the coach that really was the deciding mark for me.
Awesome. So were you guys in active communication with one another about your college choice?
Actually, we had no idea that we were both looking at the same college. And actually, some of our other choices were quite similar as well. So it was a bit of a coincidence that we ended up at the same place.
And then, Taylor, when you were communicating with your coach about being a triathlete and also running on the team, like, what was that conversation like?
Well, for starters, similar to Kylie, I didn't have a lot of high school results in terms of running. I'd done cross country a lot, but I didn't have any track times. And all the college coaches cared about were track times. Mm-hmm. So I emailed a lot of coaches. And the coach at Cornell, Artie, he was one of a very small number, maybe three or four, who actually responded back and like running was a possibility at Cornell. So he always said at Cornell and like through the time when he was coaching us that like the triathlon thing, everything for triathlon came first, if that's what I wanted. And all he was there for was just like to support me, and the team was there to help me in any way possible. I didn't like that thinking. I wanted to be a part of the team and do everything I could and have it be as normal as possible. But I think there was a general understanding, and our coach would tell this to me. He's like, if at some point this isn't working, you can just leave. Like, he kind of knew that was an option. I think that's the benefit of being at an Ivy League school where there aren't scholarships, because there was nothing except for my love of the team and the love of the sport keeping me on that team.
That's great. Yeah. It sounds like the coach really valued you too, as like a person and what you're passions were first. So in the summer leading up to your first year at Cornell, you were both competing in the junior elite triathlon circuit across the US, and then started college in late August. In September 16, 2016, you competed at the U20 Sprint World Championships in Mexico, where Taylor was first and Kylie was ninth, 1-2 for the US. So how did you make that transition to college, not just in preparing for your cross-country season, but also that was your first time moving away from home?
Yeah, so I get this question quite a bit, and I think the best answer is, as a senior heading into your freshman year, you have no idea what to expect. You are thrown in a million different directions, and you sort of just have to adapt. And I think in this case, having the World Championships a month into college, you know, it was a great thing because we only had 4 weeks to adapt. It was, you know, you had to roll with the punches at all times. It was super exciting to be a part of a collegiate cross country and track team for the first time. And we had a full team of support at all times. I remember, you know, before we left for Worlds, we had teammates make us posters, design Cornell hair ties and write poems. So we had a huge support system. And even during Worlds, we had teammates come together and almost have a showing party for our race. So from the immediate start of Cornell, we had a great team and coaches that were really supportive. So, you know, that I think that was a staple to being able to, you know, start new classes, be in a new environment, and fly out to a foreign country and compete within the first month of college. I'd like to share a story of, you know, what I remember from those first 3 weeks. I remember moving into my dorm room in high-rise 5, the top floor of one of the dormitories at Cornell. And Cornell dorms do not have air conditioning, so they're quite hot for the first couple months. You know, and Taylor can attest to the amount of sweat that we produce on our trainers. I remember bringing in face heaters because Cozumel was such a hot course at the time. And, you know, I feel so bad for my freshman roommate. I got up at 6 a.m., would sit on my trainer with my space heaters on. You know, I look back at how crazy that was freshman year. And you look back and you question, how the hell did I do this? And I think that sort of sums up our Cornell experiences. Each year we look back at, you know, what we'd accomplished and the struggles we had. And, you know, we're kind of dumbfounded as to how the hell we made it through. And, you know, that's why it's been so nice having Taylor here, because, you know, she's one other person that understands the million moving pieces of balancing triathlon, Cornell, and track and field.
So then your sophomore year, again, you both traveled, I think this time it was the Netherlands in September 2017 to the World Championship. And again, Taylor was first and Kylie was 57th. So Taylor, do you want to talk about that race and how, like, you experienced the race after having like a whole year of college and collegiate running under your belt?
Yeah, that was a different experience, I think, in a lot of ways. It's hard to say. I think it was an interesting year marker. It was nice that we had done it before and that it was a similar amount of time into the school year. But by that point, it was really nice. We were living off campus. And so things were just a bit more in our control. We kind of knew what to expect with classes a bit more. The nice thing is at Cornell, the first few weeks of the semester are a bit more tame than what then picks off and never lulls about like a week or two afterwards. So you like got in the window where people were still enjoying themselves. But it was definitely, I'm not always sure how I did it at the time. And I think the hardest part going back to freshman year was that a lot of teammates, like after Worlds, I didn't know anything different. And then after Worlds, a lot of teammates like had said to me, and they said it in the nicest way and they meant nothing else. But they're like, oh, I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you do it. And by 4 weeks, I think that really got to my head in terms of like, I can't do this. I don't know how I translated those words, but it worked to that way. But it was nice just having done it before, having the confidence that you could do it again in 2017.
Yeah. And that's a question that I even posed at the very beginning was, how do you do it? So Kylie, like, how does that question make you feel? And like, what is your response to it?
You know, similar to Taylor, you know, you look back and you wonder, how did I do this? And I think, you know, the answer is, and everyone will go to say this, you know, we have a lot of responsibilities in the day. And so time management becomes super important. But not only that, but, you know, the support system you have and you build yourself around. And I think, you know, if it weren't for Taylor and looking to, you know, what she's done and being able to repeat 2 world championships, you know, not being alone in that is really important. And that, you know, I've come to appreciate that throughout my 4 years. You know, you go from high school where it's you, it's your parents, you know, you're in a controlled environment, and you get to college and you have a social life, you have coaches, you have other responsibilities, you have classwork that is way harder than it ever has been. Yet, you know, establishing that new base of support away from home is super important. So I'm very thankful that I've had Taylor through this whole process, and just being able to watch her and understand that it is possible to balance it with, you know, the right tools and the right people around. But, you know, to each year becomes new, you know, comes new challenges, and, you know, it takes navigating those challenges in new ways. You know, the goals never really change, but it's, you know, how you attack them has been varied throughout my 4 years. You know, like Taylor said, her sophomore year and, you know, accomplishing that goal looked much different than the freshman year goal. And, you know, sometimes it's hard for everybody else to realize that when you see two first place results on paper. Whereas, you know, for the athlete themselves, those two results may look completely different.
So we talked about what the discussion was like around balancing triathlon with your coach before you came to college. But once you were actually there, what type of planning and discussions went into making those training and racing decisions? Because I assume that you also both have multiple coaches outside of Cornell, possibly. I'm not sure if that's right, though. So, Taylor, do you want to start us off with that one?
Well, so I actually changed triathlon coaches. Kylie and I both changed triathlon coaches in between our freshman and sophomore years. We have different triathlon coaches. I'm working with Neil Henderson. He lives in Boulder, Colorado. And so the way we form kind of a season is put the triathlon races in first, what's manageable. Like, it's hard for me to travel certain places at certain times of the year. I just know I can't go down to Australia in the beginning of March for the World Cups. That's just not going to happen for Mythica New York. So I think we would just layer first the triathlon races in and then put in the running races around it. Cross country has always been a really fun time of the year because you kind of get to ride your summer triathlon fitness and cut down a lot of the load and volume. So during the cross country season, I'll do the run workout every day or running, and then another one workout max. So that's like a really fun time of year. My training's the lowest it ever is. I feel fresh. It's fun. But that's just how my coaches and I have worked it out. We've tried a lot of different things. And so I think that's like trial and error in terms of training and racing and determining what do you need to do, what do you want to do. There are a lot of different factors. But everyone being on the same page is important. That's usually done via email to be aware of everyone's time.
And what's balancing training for multiple sports like for you, Kylie?
Like Taylor, we have similar processes. I switched coaches at the end of my freshman year. So now I'm with Ian O'Brien, who's also out of Boulder, Colorado. I receive all my triathlon training through Training Peaks, and then I would go and talk to Artie, and now this year, Coach Mike Henderson and Megan Oblock about, you know, how to manage all of that. And I think one of the biggest things with balancing is understanding how much is too much. And I think I've learned that lesson a lot over my 4 years here, is putting in too much can cause a lot of harm. And, you know, throughout the years, I've had a triathlon focus where I've, you know, inserted triathlon or inserted running races and running training around the triathlon priority. However, this year I've taken a bit of a different approach, and I've sprinkled in my triathlon training around my running. That was a decision that was hard for me to make, but one I thought would really benefit triathlon in the long run. But I think the really fun and great thing about having multiple coaches is that, you know, you have people that are always looking out for you, and you have a coach that's, you know, looking at your triathlon training and making sure that's all in check, and you also have a coach in person who's able to respond to how you look and how you feel during workouts. And I think that's a really important piece.
Do you know like weekly mileage numbers? Can you speak to that at all?
So Ian doesn't love weekly markers. And you know, in collegiate running, that's a big thing, is weekly mileage. And so if you talk to any runner, weekly mileage is their thing. They know it. They can, you know, they try and replicate it to 0.1 on the mile. And I think that's something that Taylor and I differ with the rest of the team. You know, we have a diverse workload. And so our running mileage, I don't know if I can, I can't specifically speak for Taylor, but I run in ranges. So whether that's, you know, 100% of my peak mileage or 85% of my peak mileage, that sort of fluctuates on how much work I'm putting on my body. So it really is a flexible measure. I'm not someone to, you know, really need to hit a certain mileage point. You know, if my easy runs are shorter than the week before because I had a large bike session, that's totally fine with me.
So Taylor, your junior year, you competed in Australia in September and you won the U23 race. And that was your, was that your first time moving up age categories, which also moves you up to the Olympic distance? So, and then that season you qualified individually to run at NCAAs. So take us through that season and what moving up in distance and then also qualifying for the national championships in cross country were like for you.
Yeah, so it didn't really feel like a huge move up in distance. I had done my first Olympic distance race in 2016. So that was 2 years prior, and I'd race some other Olympic distances throughout the year. I love longer the better for me and the way my body works a lot of the time, so I appreciate it, which is, it's good for me, we'll just say that much. But so looking back at my, like if you, so comparing my sophomore cross country year to my junior cross country year, I think is the best way to really compare the two seasons. My January through August just looks so different every year that you can't really compare the two. But that was kind of the opposite of what most run coaches would do. So sophomore year, I had really tried to focus on my run. If you look back now at Training Peaks, my coach did, because he was like, you were running a bit too much. And too much for me was I had hit some weeks that were over 100 kilometers. So like that was about 65 miles. And I just, every sort of speed, anything got zapped from my legs. I wasn't really running very well. So then the next year, my triathlon coach proposed this to my run coach. And it sounds like one of the craziest things to do. He's like, we're going to take out her tempo run and we're going to take out her long run. Yeah, my run coach was a little bit confused. I mean, if you think about the three key sessions a week, it's the tempo run, the like workout interval session, and then the long run, like standard. But we're just going to take two of those out, and that really helped me. I was able to do roughly two good workouts a week, but those workouts were shorter in duration, distance, higher in intensity. I did a lot more easy runs with strides after them, and just a lot of my triathlon training helped supplement everything else.
Did you guys have to deal with any paperwork or anything with the NCAA in terms of trying to race or do triathlons when you're also in season?
Yeah, I'll let Taylor speak to that because we have this huge athlete compliance seminar at the beginning of the school year, and Taylor's always the first to shout out all the answers to the compliance question. So she's a bit more well-versed this time.
Yeah, I've spent a fair amount of time with our compliance officer, and she is amazing. But every time I race in season or just actually in general while I'm at Cornell, I have to fill out a form that approves my competition. And then with like money and getting funding and stuff like that with USAT and prize money, that's just a whole other realm. So, but I have to get the competitions approved. I just like I fill out a form online. It's pretty much bookmarked on my computer by now, and it's fairly easy and straightforward.
Great. And so Kylie, you said that it sounded like your team was really supportive around you guys going to the World Championships. How receptive were they to differences in training or racing that you might be doing?
Yeah, you know, we had a lot of girls ask us, you know, how do you do this and then do a training workout? And, you know, outside of questions, they were super supportive. We were never, you know, put in this category of, you are so different. Why are you doing it this way? Our way is the best way. You know, they were never like that ever. You know, I think that goes back to how important the support system is. And we really got lucky with a team that was super understanding of what we were trying to do. Every year they were really excited for our races. You know, they, you know, even members of the team that graduated a few years ago, they still follow our triathlon results and reach out to us to ask us how we're doing. So, you know, they really took us with the open arms and loved every bit of it. Yeah, I don't know. I only have positive things to say about teammates and our triathlon experience. So I don't know, Taylor, do you want to expand on that?
Yeah, they're incredible in a lot of ways. I agree, only positive things. And I think it helps that everyone's kind of open to learn in general, and they're willing to do things differently. And within our team, there's no direct correlation between performance and weekly miles, which our weekly mileage is all over the place, including two people who don't have a weekly mileage. And so everyone sees how different things work for different people. And I think that that's a testament to the open-mindedness of everyone on the team, but also our coaches for working with everyone and figuring out, okay, what works for you.
And when I was looking at your roster, you guys have such a huge team. And also I love that the pictures, they looked like LinkedIn profile pictures or something like that. You know how many girls are on your team?
I think 40 or 50. I'm not sure.
That sounds 45-ish.
Yeah. It sounds awful that I don't know the exact number, but we have a group of middle distance runners who practice, who are rostered on cross country, but they just don't really race cross country.
And I was also just like looking, I was like gasping as I was looking at all the places that you guys have collectively traveled to. I wrote them down, but there's like Japan, Germany, the UAE, Hungary, Belgium, Great Britain, Switzerland, Canada, Australia, like crazy, crazy. You get to see the world. What have been some of your favorite experiences travel-wise? Kylie, want to start us off?
Yeah, sure. I think my favorite trip to date is actually the trip that Taylor and I took before we got to Cornell in Kitzbühel, Austria. It was a junior trip, and we're, you know, very close with a lot of our other junior teammates on, you know, on various world championship teams. So it was really fun. We rented a house and stayed there for around a week and ended the week with a race in Kitzbühel and a mini trip to Munich. And I remember making Taylor pose for photos in our Cornell t-shirts. So that was, you know, sort of the first time that I got to spend an extended period of time with Taylor and really get to know her. And, you know, I absolutely love that course. I think it was a great location. I'd love to go back there in the future.
What about for you, Taylor, favorite travel experience?
Ooh, well, I'd say that the Kitzbühel trip is definitely up there. And what Kylie's also neglecting to mention is that we raced 2 days. There was a prelim final format. They were testing it out. And then the next day, I don't know who had this brilliant idea, but we decided that after 2 days of racing, we were going to climb the Kitzbühel Horn, which was a very difficult climb for me. And like at the time, I didn't know why. And in retrospect, I realized that I really had the wrong gearing on my bike. And also, we were at a little bit of altitude. So I just remember, I think that might be my peak heart rate in some way, for the bike at least. So it was definitely hard.
So then let's see, let's go to 2019, this past cross country season. So Taylor, you raced in Switzerland, I think the end of August, early September, at the World Triathlon Grand Final. So that was the elite women's race and on a relay. And then on November 10th, you raced in the Dominican Republic. And then as a team, collectively, you guys qualified for Division One Nationals. So Kylie, do you want to like take us through what this season was like for your Cornell team and what the mindset was going into regionals and then nationals?
Yeah, so I think I'll start at the beginning of our season. We had recently learned that we were gaining new coaching for our senior year. So we got to school beginning of August, maybe mid-August, unsure of who our coach would be for the season. So, you know, we've had a bit of a rough go throughout our 4 years with different, you know, courses and different race strategies. But, you know, this year for sure was the most unknown. And our team did a great job of really embracing the new coaching, the new program, and really reconnecting with each other. And I think our new women's assistant coach did a great job of unifying us as one team that's completely supportive and understanding of each other. So we entered the season really excited about being able to race under new coaching. And I think our performances really reflected that. And, you know, I don't know if Taylor can speak to this, but, you know, being a senior, you, whether you're a captain or not, you have this role to take care of others on the team. And I think that really pushed us, you know, to want to race for our team and to leave it all out on the course every day or every race. And I had a lot of fun this season. I think that was another reason why we did so well is, you know, like Taylor said earlier, cross country is one of the most fun seasons that we have because we get to unload a bit in triathlon and really have fun with the team and find passion for competing. And I really connected with running this year and absolutely loved every minute of it. As for regionals, we had just come from, you know, two weeks prior, we had had HEPS championships at Van Cortlandt, and we were absolutely ecstatic going into that race, and we came out with, I would say, a subpar result for what we had been aiming for that season. And so our team attitude going into regionals was, I would say, relaxed. As seniors, it was possibly going to be our last race. And so we really sat back and, you know, decided that we wanted to have a positive memory for our last cross-country race. And I don't know if you had heard, but our regionals got changed from an actual cross country race to road race. So that was another hurdle thrown at us. And most of us the day before the race barely had, you know, racing flats in order to compete on the roads. So there was quite a bit of hurdles thrown at us all at once. And, you know, we really took all of this with great stride. I remember sitting on the start line. We were the only team that was goofing off. You know, we were laughing with a few seconds to the gun. We had been in the van after warmups, headbanging to Kesha's Woman. and, you know, we just, it was almost like you were in high school again, and, you know, you ran to have fun during that race. One of the hardest races I've ever ran. And we finished the race, and I remember looking over at Coach Henderson, and there's tears streaming down his face. So, you know, that moment still feels very surreal. And it is one of, you know, I will cherish that moment for the rest of my life.
Oh, that's so awesome. Yeah, I remember following the race too, and or the regionals at least, and seeing how it's changed to a road race. So I can't imagine what that aspect must have been like. Taylor, do you want to speak to what that cross country and triathlon season were like for you?
Yeah, well, I think that, so as Kylie said, we had a coaching change. Our coach stepped down at the end of July, beginning of August. So we had a few weeks in the summer, beginning of August, where we didn't have coaches for the next year. We had a degree of uncertainty. Everyone was just trying to piece. It was kind of, we were grateful enough to get coaches. And there had been a lot of surprises the whole season. So everyone was just having fun, rolling with everything, completely open to new training, trying new things, which I think is really unique. We had trust and faith in our coaches, and that really, really helped. So then by the time regionals came, it was very unique in that the previous, I'd raced regionals the previous 2 years, but every year it had been like a conversation the night before the race, like, oh, and we're going to qualify for nationals, and all of this stuff. There was not one mention of that the night before regionals this year. It was all about what can we do? Like I feel like this whole season, that whole season and that whole race, we were almost in our own world. As Kylie said, we were having a lot of fun And it was just, we were going to do what we were going to do and show up and execute the best of our ability. I think that on the day we had a number of girls really have breakout races. But then some people just had very average races, and at a championship race, having an average race can be very good a lot of times because a lot of people will fall apart. So it was just a great experience overall. And I think that I'll remember, Kylie saw Coach Henderson crying, but I remember going up to our other coach, Megan Knobloch, Coach K, we call her, and she was showing us like the results. And I didn't believe it. I really just didn't believe it because I'm like, wait, second. And she's like, yes. And I'm like, are you sure that's going to hold? Are you sure like someone's not missing? Like, what's the catch here? And I think that it was just a season full of surprises, as we'll say. And it turned out that senior year was, if you had talked to us in June and showed us what would have happened going into the end of the summer, cross-country season, now this spring, I wouldn't have believed it. But it's just the theme of the year.
So we talked about balancing triathlon and cross-country and some coaching changes. Do either of you want to elaborate on any other challenges or adversity that you had to overcome during your time at Cornell?
So I've had a bit of injuries throughout my 4 years here. My first year running, I was diagnosed with a stage 4 sacral stress fracture in January of my freshman year. College running is a huge adjustment, and I, you know, formerly had not had as directed run training. So I think my body just had a bit too much. So I spent most of spring semester resting and, you know, rebuilding my body to make sure that I was able to handle running. Since then, I haven't had any running related injuries. I've been quite lucky that my body's been able to handle mileage and intensity. As for other injuries, I have broken my radial head in my elbow 2 years in a row due to bike crashes. The first year I was able to get a few World Cups in for the season. I had spent the summer in Girona, Spain with Origin Performance and had a few World Cup performances. It was my first season of racing Elite World Cups, and you know, I can speak to measures about how fun that was. And I'm just thankful that I was able to get in a few races. Last year, the first race of the season in Kazakhstan, I was in a crash again and I fractured my right elbow. So it has been, you know, 2 years of trying to build back swimming, and the second break was of greater severity than the first. So it actually took me 5 months to get back in the pool after my break in June. So my triathlon racing has been slim since coming to Cornell. But, you know, I think the challenges have made me realize how important triathlon is in my life and how much I want to pursue it after school. And it's been fun to be able to watch Taylor. You know, when you're not performing, it can be, you know, hard sometimes to watch others, but I've had such a fun time, you know, being a part of Taylor's training, you know, on the running side and being able to see the great things that she does in triathlon.
What challenges have you had to overcome, Taylor?
I think heading into college, I hadn't faced so many challenges. And then I think since college, it's kind of been like, okay, what's the challenge of the week, the challenge of the month, the challenge of the year? I had alluded a little bit to this a little bit prior, but by the end of 2016, I was absolutely exhausted in every single realm of my life. To the point in which not many people know this, but I would get to any time I would train or go out to train. I wasn't really always successful with that. If I was alone, so it helped when I was with teams and practicing, I would start crying at some point and just for no reason and not really be able to stop. So that was not really good, healthy, any sort of way you'd like to describe it. I had to reduce my training volume substantially. And then since I switched coaches, I've had to incorporate a lot more rest into my schedule because it is your body takes stress in the same way, whether it is physical, mental, emotional, anything. So the school stress by the end of a semester, I just can't train at the same level if I want to be able to continue to train once I get to my break. So I think that that's been one of my challenges, because I love training and I don't like decreasing the volume, especially if I have the time. But it's just something that has to be done for my body. Last spring, I had a small injury that turned a little bit bigger because no one knew kind of what it was. I tore my obturator externus. So if you don't know what that is, it's one of your six external rotator muscles in your hip. It's very deep in there. Very few people have ever torn it, done anything. So I continued to train a bit too long, and then I was forced to finally take some time off. And then I was thankfully able to get back into training and actually racing. But my summer wasn't necessarily what I wanted it to be, and I knew I just didn't have the time or the miles in me. But like through it all, I think that it's shown me, and Kylie's helped show me, the value of really connecting and training with others and leaning on others for support. And I know I couldn't have gone through the few challenges that I have faced without the support of teammates, and especially Kylie.
I tried the whole like running and swimming in college thing, and it was just a lot of pressure on that I put on myself. And it's so important to have that support system around you, and also just to be willing to make changes in your training, especially when it's decreasing loads and you're so reliant on what you have done in the past in order to continue success. So how do you guys prioritize your life outside of your training, and what type of sacrifices do you have to make?
I think it's each year you really have to sit down and you have to, you know, spell out your priorities on whether it's this A race, this B race, this school project, this final. And so I think each year the schedule and list of priorities changes. Outside of triathlon, you know, friends and family are quite important to me. I have a boyfriend on the team who's also extremely important to me. So, you know, making time for all those parts of my life is equally as important. And for me, I've noticed that when I lose the balance between triathlon and those parts of my life, I start competing worse. And so incorporating fun into the schedule is uber important for me. If I'm not enjoying myself and overloaded with stress, I just can't perform. And I think that's something I've realized a little bit later in my college career, that kind of, you know, sort of ties into, you know, lessons for my younger self would be, it's okay to allow those things to take priority over training sometimes, you know, and sometimes, you know, watching a movie with roommates does more for my performance than stressing about an easy 60-minute cycle. And so, and in addition to that, like Taylor said, leaning on others has been something that I've learned really helps. I was very, not that I was resistant to it, but I had a really hard time, you know, sharing that burden with others. And, you know, with teammates and with boyfriends and with roommates, that sort of helped lighten my load.
Taylor, do you have anything you want to add to prioritizing life outside of training?
Well, I think when Kylie was speaking to leaning on others, also letting others lean on you. And I think as seniors on this team, it's been a fantastic experience helping younger athletes who might reach out or who might even not reach out, and trying to figure out, okay, how can I help people? It's almost a little like your future question, like how could I, a letter to your younger self. I feel like I almost get to say that on some of my easy runs when I'm running with a freshman or running with a sophomore, and they'll ask about things. And that's really fun to be able to share those things to hopefully prevent them making the same mistake. But I think it's extremely valuable, the connections that are made on teams and at school, and that training just isn't that important, which I can't believe I'm saying that. But it's about the people you meet. It's more about the people you meet and who you're doing things with, because I know that at the end of the day, I couldn't do what I want to do in terms of training without those other people. And so they're the priority, because they're going to enable you to actually also do what you want to do, but you need to have a support system.
I totally resonate with what you guys are saying. And I'm just like imagining what it would be like for ourselves if we were in high school right now to hear what we're saying at this moment. So we're facing some unprecedented times right now with the coronavirus pandemic. Do you guys want to speak to when you heard that your season was canceled and how you're currently handling this situation?
Yeah, I think it was an emotional time for everyone, you know, involved in collegiate sports and professional sports or high school sports. No one wants to hear that their season has been canceled. And when we found out, Ivy League was actually the first conference to announce the cancellation of spring sports. So I think it was a bit hard with, you know, NCAAs still on at the time that, you know, we wouldn't have a season, especially being seniors. You know, this school, athletics at this school has become such a big part of our life that it was really hard to, you know, come to terms with that. I remember being called into our indoor track to have a full team meeting, and the coaches, you know, you could see the look on their faces telling us this news. And I remember looking at every single senior sitting on that bleachers, tears rolling down their eyes. You know, I think that summarizes how important our team is to each other. You know, this was our last season to get to spend practice hours and outside of training hours together. And that is super special. With the cancellation of the rest of the NCAA, it was in a way a bit super disappointing for everybody else and, you know, in Ivy League sports, but it was comforting to know that we were all in this together and that there was something larger than collegiate sports going on in the world. And I think now, you know, looking back at from the time that I learned that season was canceled and, you know, now the Olympics are delayed and, you know, pro sports are being postponed and now we're online for classes, we realize that, you know, this is like a larger picture. Initially, when I first found out, Taylor was more of my voice of reason of, Kylie, it's going to be okay. This is not the end of your career in any sorts. You know, things happen. We have to adapt. This year, like she had said, was a year of surprises. And, you know, this is just one more of them. And I was just really thankful to have a team that was there together through it. And I'm lucky right now to still be in Ithaca. I live with six other teammates. So, you know, I've been able to, you know, deconstruct my feelings and, you know, spend some quality time with them.
Yeah, it's been such a hard time because, you know, we only go through college once and it's like you kind of build up all these final moments in your head that are the accumulation of years of work and years of friendship and just like having to say goodbye to all of those that are like pieces of our identity. It's super hard and also just like makes you reevaluate what matters most in your life. Taylor, how have you been handling the situation? And
yes, strange week because on Monday everything was okay. Tuesday it was announced that after spring break our classes would be online. Mm-hmm. Wednesday we learned that the Ivy League canceled the season. Thursday the NCAA canceled the season, and Friday then they canceled all in-person classes starting at 5 p.m. that day. It was Friday the 13th, so it's an easy date to remember. But I think that it's so much bigger than a season, which is like, you can say that and you can say that as many times as you want. The racing, I, of course, I'm disappointed to miss. I love racing. I loved representing Cornell because now that's a past tense. I think not realizing when my last race was is probably going to be the toughest part. But the thing that I miss most is the day-to-day, going to practice, seeing my teammates, being with them. I think that's the thing that I value most. And that's, I think, the hardest part about our season being canceled and the NCAA canceling is that then there are all these restrictions in terms of hours and even the way coaches can send you workouts. They can't say what days they want you to do them. They have to like put them on just a sheet and you know what day they want them to do it. But it's like, it's everything that is like related to it. I think that's also hard because that's what makes things feel normal. And I think that just not being with people is also harder.
Thank you guys for speaking to that, because it is crazy how quickly everything has escalated and changes. And it's like every day, you know, you wake up with one emotion and then the next hour is like a completely new surprise. So where are you guys currently putting your focus and what are some future aspirations that you have for yourselves?
Where am I currently putting my focus? I am taking a 2-week break. I'm in the midst of that. So I'm putting my focus on enjoying a lot of things. I was with the uncertainty and with IT raises won't start until June 30th at the earliest. And coming off of cross country last year, I'd taken a break after that. But then I did a swim season, and just how my body was feeling, how I was feeling, I was feeling very run down for a little while. So that was the easiest choice to do. And so I'm taking it as an opportunity, and I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful that I'm comfortable taking breaks now. We'll see if it helps or hurts. So that's where I am.
I am currently still run training. I'm planning on taking my break around May 1st. So within the next 3 weeks, I should be at the same place Taylor is. Because I'm still at Cornell, I've had the opportunity to run with a few of my roommates. So I'm trying to soak up the last, running memory and experience in Ithaca while I can for the next few weeks. But as for priorities, training is really taken a step back. I've now focused more on just finishing up senior year, getting done with my classes, and spending some quality time with the people here before I head back home.
And do you guys have plans for the fall yet, or do you have any visions that you'd like to speak to in terms of professional triathlon or academically related careers?
I am not sure at this point. I think that if anything, this spring has shown us, I can be a fairly superstitious person, and so I never want to say that anything set in stone until it is. And I think that just when you're anything can happen, so I don't want to set any limits on myself, so I'll just say I'm open to anything.
Yeah, I'd also like to talk about that. I'm not completely decided on what my future holds as well. My plan senior year has changed 16 times over. And this spring has definitely solidified the fact that change is happening at this point in time for me. So I'm not completely decided on what the next step is for me, but I'm hoping to have a successful fall in whatever I decide to do.
Great. Thank you, guys. I know that's such an annoying question. What are you doing after you graduate? You said at the beginning how opposite the two of you are. What way that, what are a few examples of you guys being opposite?
Well, height, maybe. No, just kidding. I feel like Kylie would better allude to it, because I don't necessarily know all the ways that we're opposite.
Over the years, we've had a lot of teammates, sort of categorize us as the two triathletes, not in a bad way. It's just sort of the way that we were viewed. And people would always say, you two are the most opposite people I've ever seen. You work great together, but the two of you have most opposite personalities. And I think that's something that we've realized, over the past 4 years as well. But we work the best together when, we bring our strengths to the table. And I think, my weaknesses are Taylor's strengths and Taylor's weaknesses are my strengths. So it helps to have the two of us in training together and life at Cornell, to be honest. I've had some weeks where, I'm having a really rough time and Taylor's doing great. And she's like, come on, Kylie, you're doing fine. Just get through the rep. You're okay. And, vice versa for Taylor. So it's been great to have her through this whole experience.
Yes. Kylie shows stress a bit better than me. That might be an understatement. So she very much brutally honest with me and tells me to just kind of relax, take a chill, you're fine, and forces me outside of my comfort zone to try new things. That's, I think, the bigger thing. I'm very much interested in doing the same thing over and over again, and Kylie has a great openness to new experiences and wants to share it.
So my final question for this episode is, what is a piece of advice you would tell to a younger version of yourself, and what is a message that you want to leave to a future version of yourself? Taylor, do you want to start us off?
Well, I think that one of the things that my swim coach used to always tell me was, he's like, there's this word that starts with a P. It's called patience. And then another word that starts with an R, relax. And just those two things, I think I might not believe it at the time, but just knowing that they exist as ideas is a really good thing to learn as soon as possible, but also recognizing that sometimes you have to go through things and learn it yourself, and that's a far more valuable lesson. But if I could tell myself, I think it would be, especially a high schooler or even like earlier in college, just to relax more, enjoy things. It sounds cheesy, but smile. I know I would get a smile out of myself because I'd kind of be laughing at myself. But seriously, like, don't take yourself too seriously and have fun.
So in a similar realm to that, I think an important piece of information for, you know, younger athletes, especially in high school, is that sport is not your entire identity. And I think that sometimes is hard to fully digest. It can be a big part of your personality and what you love to do, but you are not your sport. You are not your results. So I think, you know, I would have loved to fully understand that in high school. I think that really helped some of my struggles throughout college.
And for a future message, Taylor, do you want to take us away?
Oh, this is tough. But I think, I'm not sure what emotion I would want to elicit through this message. I think just if, like, I'd love to ask myself, what have you learned since this message? Because sometimes it can be, like, my mom and I were talking about this a few days ago. Like, it seems like, she asked me, does it feel like college went by quickly? And I'm like, yes and no. Like, how much have I changed? I've changed dramatically, but it's such a short time. And so I think that just recognize the progress that you've made, recognize that you aren't perfect, and perfection is not something you want to aim for. Have patience with yourself, and I hope you're still having fun in life.
Thank you. Kylie?
This is the hardest question to answer, I think, of the day. One, I think it's okay to not always have it together. And I think that's something I will continue to struggle with, is having everything perfectly planned to a T and being able to control what you can control, and, you know, not being stressed out about the uncontrollables is something that I hope that I continue to strive for. Another piece of advice that I would tell my future self is to enjoy the moment. Like Taylor said, college goes really fast, and I'm told that your 20s go really fast as well. So to be able to, you know, be present in each year and really enjoy the things that I will encounter in the future is something that I hope to do.
Well, thank you guys so much. It's been really awesome to hear from you. And also, just like, I've been following a lot of your results over the years and following triathlon, and it's just nice to hear the story behind all the competitions and success. So I really appreciate your time.
Thank you, Haley, for hosting.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us on here. I know it might be hard to do a dual podcast, but it was really fun being able to talk with Taylor. We've, you know, grown a lot closer over the past 4 years. So I'm hoping that between the two of us, we can have some words of wisdom for those that are entering college.